Banton, who's the secretary, called There Is Still Much to Do. And there are two sections, one from two chapters, one about redeeming the time, and the other one was the, you know, in Isaiah 6, where you have, that vision that Isaiah has. And, he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, But they said, well, who will go for us? Who will we send? And he says, here I am, send me. And it struck me that Isaiah could never be worthy of being the messenger whom God sent, but he was willing. And that was the thing that struck me. I'm not worthy. I'm not that good at what I do. Okay, but I'm willing. I'm willing to go. And that's all God requires from any of us. He wants us to be willing to serve. And he will do the rest. He makes up for the great lack in our lives. So that's how I ended up in the Open Air Mission since 2018.
Brilliant. Well, let's just pray for Tim now. Right. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tim, for his ministry. We thank you for his testimony just now about how he came into Open Air Mission. And we pray that we too might be challenged about our need to go when you call us, that we might be willing to be obedient to you as you call us to go out into the world to share the gospel. Bless Tim now as he ministers to us and he shares about the work of Open Air Mission. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Alan.
Over to you, Tim.
Thank you. Oh, well, I was saved at the Billy Graham campaign in 1984, by the way. There we are, a long time ago now, isn't it? But I keep bumping into people who actually, have been saved through the work of Billy Graham. So many, in 56 and then in 80s and whatever. It's quite wonderful. Anyway, the verses were read for me by Tim. Thank you, Tim, very much. Because I just wanted to think, a couple of lessons from those verses. We read to verse 24, I know, but just for context. But I just want to look at the first few verses. And then I think I'm going to show something about the work of the Open Air Mission and the things that I've been involved in. And then I think a bit later, you're going to be able to ask questions about me. That's bad. And the work. And so, if you, as we go along, if you think of anything, feel free to write it down or put it on your notes on your phone. You won't be looking at your phone just to surf, I'm sure, or check your emails. But anyway, just feel free to write down any of those questions, all right? I'm really encouraged, and I was last time I came a while back chatting to Mel about that focus on evangelism that you've got. That's really, really good. They do say that churches that don't evangelize fossilize, don't they? It's a truism, but it's very true. And I've seen that over my Christian life, so many places that have stopped having a vision to go out and have just become inward looking and they have died. Going out, that's the key. Going out with the message, whether that's locally, whether that's wherever you are, God has placed you in your work or school or club or whatever it might be, or gym. Just being out there, talking about the Lord Jesus and obeying that great commission. We are commanded to go out and make disciples of all nations. That's what the Lord has told us to do. That's what he's commanded us to do. That's what we must do. But it can be scary, okay? So I don't think I'm up here saying you must all go and do this because it's really easy. It's not. It's scary. I still get scared when I go in the open air, okay? Just because I've done it for a long time doesn't mean it gets any easier. I'm sorry to say, that's probably what you don't want to hear. It's scary and it never gets any better. But it's true. I go out there in the open air. That's my board over there. Feel free to come up and explore it later on, have a look. That's one of the talks I do. Have a look at the literature. Those books on the table are free if you want to take any away. And also, if you want to take some literature, if you want to give out some leaflets, feel free to have that as well. You're very welcome. But it's scary. And even Paul, when he went to Corinth, he was scared as well. I was looking again. Acts 18 is a great account of Paul's time in Corinth. And it says this, it says, the Lord stood by him and said, because he'd been there for a while, and he was obviously getting to him. Because remember, this guy had been all the way through Greece and kept getting beaten up all the way along. I mean, it's not a pleasant experience. But it says this, he says, the Lord said to him one night in a vision, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, but keep on speaking and don't be silent. For I am with you and no one will lay a hand on you to hurt you. Because I have many people in this city. Isn't that lovely? Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. And don't be silent. And that's what I would suggest for you, as I do for myself when I get overwhelmed. It's easy just to not do anything and say, well, come on, what great things the Lord has done for me. He just wants me to tell people about him. And God did great things in Corinth, and Paul writes to them in this little section just to remind them of where the power lies. It's not lying with him. It lies with the message of the cross. That's where the power of God lies. And really, I suggest it deals with these fears, very simple fears. You know, what do I say? What do you say? You know, when you're out and about, what do you say to people? You know, what if they ask me something I don't know? That's another fear that people have. And what if I say the wrong thing? What if I say the wrong thing? Those are the three things I hear most. You know, and I used to ask them myself when I started. But what do I say? You know, what if they ask me something I don't know? And what if I say the wrong thing? Well, the things we read there was this: for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved is the power of God unto salvation for all. For it is written to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Well, that word, it's the word of the cross. The word of the cross is foolishness to the world. That means the message that we are telling people, you know, that our faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus that can deal with our sin, give us eternal life so we might be, and we are born again in him. To those people who are perishing, it does make no sense whatsoever. And, you know, the content to them, the content of the message means nothing. Therefore, they are perishing. And there's nothing that you or I can do about that. We can't make them want to hear it. We can't make them interested in it. That is a work of God. It's a dreadful situation that they're in, a dreadful situation they're in, created by their attitude towards the content of the message. So no wonder we feel like we are fools when we're out there preaching this, to our own human intellect, it makes no sense. You know, we've got a foster son, and he's coming on, he's going to be 15 in November, but we've had him for five, coming on 6 years now, and he just thinks we're crazy. We're crazy people because we think a dead man came back to life again. You're crazy, he says. And I guess, you know, and to the world, we are crazy, aren't we? So why did Paul carry on telling people the same message? Why do we do it? And you get that in that portion where it says, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Those of us here who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus have felt the power of God in our life. We've experienced that power of God in our life. And the power of that is in the content of the message. It's not in the presentation of it or the wonderful words. It's not in the way it's delivered. It's not in eloquence or long words or anything like that. It's not because it's jazzing it up to make it more palatable, but it's just a clear and simple message that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that through faith in him alone, we can be born again, we can know our sins are forgiven, and we can have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a story you have. I mean, maybe you say when you were young, I don't know. My wife was saved when she was like seven, I think it is. And I was saved when I was 19. But we have the same story. We all had to come to the cross at some point. We all were sinners. We all came to the cross. We all believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all experienced something of the power of God in our life because of that. We know what the message says. And we have that message to give away to other people. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 it says this: but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence and of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, it talks about us as earthen vessels. You can think about that. You know those plastic Chinese dishes things you get when you get a Chinese meal? That's us. We're just like plastic Chinese dishes. But the message, the power of God is in the message that is in us, because we have experienced it and we can share that with other people. God has given us the content of what we should say. The content is the simple gospel message. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again. And through faith and belief in him, we can have eternal life. We can now be born again and come into the kingdom of God and know God's love, joy, and peace in our heart by the Holy Spirit he gives us. That's the message that we have. That's what you can talk about. You can talk about what he's done in your life. That's it. So in terms of what do we talk about? Talk about him. Talk about that. You don't have to talk about, you know, this doctrine and that doctrine or whatever. Just a basic, simple, that's all I ever do. I just tell people the simple, basic message of the gospel. And then what happens is that Paul then gives an example. Gives an example about the fact we need to trust in that. It's not what we think. We need to trust in what God has said, that the power is in the message. It says there in verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Now, where's that written then? Well, it's written in Isaiah 29, verse 14. And what was happening there, the context of the verses in Isaiah there, is that God was denouncing the policy of the wise people in Judah who thought it would be good to have an alliance with Egypt when they were threatened by Sennacherib in 700 BC. So instead of trusting in God, they were going to trust in Egypt. And so that's why God says, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. See, they did not believe in the power of God to deliver them from their enemies, but they tried to use some way. So the point is, I'm trying to get at there, is God doesn't need your wisdom or my wisdom or any worldly wisdom at all to perform his will. He'll do what he does in his own way. And often he'll do it in ways that seem foolish to us. So you've got Jericho's walls. It doesn't make no sense walking around a wall. It's going to fall down. But that's what God decided he was going to do. Gideon's 300 men. You know, going against the army. You had 20-odd thousand. Now you've got 300. Makes no sense. But that's what God chose to do. You know, a young boy defeating a great big bloke with, you know, armed up with shields and whatever. You know, he's going to defeat him. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Why? Because I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. That's why he went in the power of the Lord. And of course, a crucified man on a cross is able to save your soul. Foolishness to the Gentiles who were thinking everything should be logical and in order. It's a stumbling block to the Jews who were looking for a great Messiah to come and rule over all. But there's that dying man on the cross. It's through him God has decided, Christ crucified, that he is going to save men and women and children like you and me. And that's what he's done. And you've experienced the power of it. And you've got that message you can go and tell other people. Simple message. Doesn't have to be complicated. Just share your experience of knowing him. Now, then it says this. I'm just going to cover these few verses and that'll be it. It says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. You know, all the clever in the people in the world, all their philosophies could never know God. Not even when he came to the earth in the form of our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know it was him. But for those who did believe and believed in that message and received Christ, they know God. They know God. You and I know God. And the scripture confirms that. I'm just going to get rid of Siri wants to join in for some reason. I do apologize for that. Go away, Siri. There we go. So, and the scripture really does confirm that. You know, it says in John 1 verse 10, it says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came into his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, it's not what you or I can do. It's of God that we are saved. I love that little song there about the drawing us, the irresistible drawing, isn't it, of God. We cannot resist the drawing of God. So my brother and sister, you see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the message, and it's about the working of God's Holy Spirit in the heart and mind of those who hear that message. So all you've got to do is deliver the message and let God do the rest of it. So, So when you witness, in terms of what if they ask me questions I don't know? Listen, when you witness, you don't need to know lots of complicated answer. Just tell them your story of how the Lord changed you through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the power of God. It's in the message. Don't matter how crazy you sound, that's where the power of God is. And leave the rest with the Lord. You just stick to that. You know, I met a lady called Claire from Sydney. I was in Newcastle giving out leaflets. a lady from Sydney, Australia. And she said, oh, she said, I've got a friend who's just become a Christian. And she's changed completely. And I want to know what it is that I want what she's got. You know, what can you tell me? And so I was able to share with her the gospel message. And at the end, I gave her a John's gospel. But you know what? Even then, I thought I should have said this. I thought I should have said that. And I started beating myself up with all the things I should have said. Maybe I should have led it to the Lord then, there. You know, maybe I should have, no. You know, and then I thought about these verses again and also some other verses. And I thought, no, that's not my role. My role is to be here and to share that message and let God do his work. And God will do his work in that dear lady. And I trust that she's gone away, she's read it, and that the Holy Spirit of God has convicted her, and she's come to know the Lord. She did have our John's Gospel, which has a little card on the back that says, you know, you want to know any more, contact us. I mean, you never leave people without a contact. That's really important. You know, just to finish this part, you know, I just want you to encourage you that when you go out, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're going out in the open air like I do, or giving out leaflets, or you're going to the doors, or whether you're going to a gym, or mums and tots, or your workplace, whatever it is, wherever you are, I will just encourage you, you know, go out there. Whatever you say, you won't fail in whatever you say. You won't be saying the wrong thing if you just talk about the Lord. And just remember, God is not dependent on us, but he blesses us. He blesses us when we're obedient to his command to go out. There's a great quote from D.L. Moody that encompasses that worry about failure, I think. It says this. He wrote this. He said, our greatest fear should not be failure, but succeeding at things that don't really matter. Yeah? Our greatest fear should not be failure, but succeeding at things that don't really matter. That was a great challenge to me. And a man called C.T. Studd is a man who spent his life dedicated to the service of the Lord. He served in China and India and Africa. And in 1913, he formed the World Evangelization, is that one? Yes, I think it must be a World Evangelization Crusade called WEC International, now you might know it as, which operates even today, as I say. And he wrote a poem, and it has this repeated refrain, and you might probably know this already. It says this: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burnt out for thee. So what do I say? I say the simple gospel message. Christ Jesus came into this world. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and through faith and belief in what he has done, a man or a woman or a child can have eternal life, can be born again. You know, what if they ask me something I don't know? Just say, I don't know. But I'll find out. Only cults know all the answers, as you'll find out. Only cults know all the answers. If you don't know the answer, I don't know, but I'll find out. Can I contact you? Give us your number. And of course, what if I say the wrong thing? My friend, if you're trying to witness for the Lord, you'll never say the wrong thing. Just trust in God. The Holy Spirit will take what you give and will use what little you give for his glory. Now, I just pray God will just encourage you with that. I just want to talk about the work of the Open Air Mission. That is it's my opening slide. Well, I'll show you actually where I operate in a second. But at the moment, we have 13 full-time evangelists, well, full-time and a couple of part-time evangelists. There we are on the right-hand side, spread around the country there. Only one in Scotland, strangely enough. But that's Douglas Young up there. But the rest of us are sort of gathered around. But over here, we have 54 associate workers. Now, the associates are men in these places who have the ability to lead a team and to go out, and they've got a board, and they get tracts, and they represent people who are going out with different brothers and sisters from various churches to go out and preach the gospel in the open air. And we praise God for that. And then we also have one in Hungary and also one in Uganda, strangely enough. I think their board got stuck on a shipping container and so they had it was there when they arrived. But anyway, there he is. Now, this is the man who started it all, John McGregor, in 1853. He was a barrister and he was walking along the streets in London and suddenly saw these two guys preaching the gospel, and he thought, oh, that's good, I'll go over and help them. And if you ever see anybody preaching the gospel, you know, have a pop along, have a look, give them pray for them. That's always very encouraging. And then afterwards, he thought, well, this is good, he said. I wonder if I can get a little organization together just to help people who are going out and the Open Air Mission, and that's how the Open Air Mission was born. Now, this is what the things that we used to take out. I know, it looks like some sort of execution, sort of guillotine thing, doesn't it? I know. Well, we don't take those things out anymore. As you can see what we take out there, the board and a table. Also used to have, up until fairly recently, used to have these vans. Our dear brother Clive Williams that comes and helps me, he's been in the mission for 40 years, and he was on these vans. Not that one, but the one up there. And they used to sleep in the van and go all around the country. But, and of course, they'd open up the van and there'd be great crowds coming along to hear. Now, we're still in the streets with our vans. We're out talking to people where people are in the public space. And it's a great opportunity just to share with people the power of the message of the gospel. That's all we preach. We preach the message of the gospel. We don't get sidelined into various isms. We're there just to preach the gospel. The main thing is the main thing. And sometimes we get crowds, which is lovely. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's only one or two. In Gloucester, sometimes we get people stopping to listen. Sometimes we don't. You just never know. It's why it's so exciting going out there. And we always try and give away these John's Gospels, always try and leave people with the Word of God. So you can see some of the John's Gospels on the table, on the side there. Take a look. Please do. But why do we preach in the open air? Well, of course, it's in obedience to Scripture. The Lord has commanded in Matthew 28. We go into all the world preaching the gospel, making disciples of all nations, and also to compel them to come in. It's a command of the Lord. And of course, we have the example set by John the Baptist. Obviously, he went out to preach, the Lord himself, the apostles. And of course, as we go down, I was going to list a bunch of people. It's just too long to list. Lots of other people as well, including himself. Not the great and the noble and the good, just normal men who have a desire to go out and share the Word of God. And along with them come other people who do a variety of work. So when we're in the open air, I may be preaching, but there could be another person. Well, mainly people just standing, listening, and prayerfully, hopefully. And then, you know, what happens is, as I'm preaching, somebody might stop and listen. And then the person goes to go away, somebody like Tim, as Tim's been out with us, and Ruth, before, they might say, oh, what did you think? Simple question, isn't it? What do you think? And they might say, load of rubbish. Oh, why do you say that? And then you get into a conversation. Or you might say, oh, would you like a leaflet? And they say, yes, please. And off they go. Whatever. It really is that simple. So people out there, some people are really good at having conversations. I'm terrible at having conversations, starting them. You know, I'm all right if somebody asks me a question, and I'm terrible at starting them, which is why I always use that, oh, what did you think? And then I start from there. But other people have got this thing, they can slide up to people that are walking past and share my tracks. Oh, what do you think about this question? You know, are all good people going to heaven? Things like that. You might be great at personal work. Good on you. Really, we need people like that in the open air. And maybe you feel the Lord has a desire for you to preach in the open air. Wonderful. We can help with that. And maybe you come out and stand and pray. That is the most vital work. As our brother said, seriously, nothing happens without prayer. Yeah, prayer meeting isn't just one meeting. Prayer meeting is the thing that drives everything else within the church and within the work as well. Now, we read these people, the unlearned, people who know nothing of Jesus. There are people who know nothing. Seriously, they know nothing. I met a guy in Cornwall, you know, out there. Can I give you this leaflet? Oh, what's it about? Jesus. You ever heard of Jesus? No, who's Jesus? How did it explain who God, where do we start? Explain who God is. God created the universe. He created you and me. We're accountable. We're sinners. It means we're not going to go to heaven. We're going to go to hell, which is a terrible place to go to. But Jesus came to save us. You had to go to work, but I managed to get it in before he went off. The antagonistic. People are angry. People who are angry are often people who are convicted about something. So when they come up to you very angry, you just say, are you okay? Or I can see something's really upsetting you. Do you want to talk about it? That's what you have to do. And they quickly, they come down. And I remember this drunk guy in Gloucester. Was it Gloucester? No, it might be Bristol. There are people in Gloucester as well who are drunk, I might say. very angry. Going, oh, how dare you? And I said, listen, I can see you're really upset. Would you like to talk about it? And he said, well, you want to talk to me? I said, yes, I want to talk to you. So he went and we sat down and he told me about his life. And I told him about the Lord and we had a good conversation. Seeking, people who want to know more. There are people out there who want to know about the Lord Jesus. And they're really excited to find somebody out telling people about Jesus. and they have a good conversation with you. And they really, I mean, I'll tell you in a minute about loads of people love taking Bibles and books and things. They really do. They're really excited to have the Bible in their hands, especially young folks. Really, it's a quite amazing thing. Searching, looking for the truth. There are Christians out there who want to know what the Bible teaches. Now, I tell you what, I was chatting to a guy yesterday. We were doing a Bible study together. He went to a church, but unfortunately, they didn't preach the truth. It was just sort of like all fun and games. Then the Jehovah's Witnesses contacted him, said, we'll teach you about the Bible. And so he went off with them. Do you know what? We need to make sure we have Bible-believing church that teaches what the Bible says. Because there are Christians out there who are starving for the Word of God. And if you're out there, you can meet them. And then you can say, come along, we'll show you. Searching, serving, wanting to serve the Lord. Dear lady called Stella, she'd seen us in Western Supermare preaching the open air. She said, well, that's amazing. She went to her church and said, can we do something? Oh, no, we're not going to do anything like that. She said, well, I've got to be able to do something. So what she did, she got on edon.co.uk, other websites exist, bought a bunch of New Testaments, got herself a little table and just sat in the street by her table with some New Testaments. And then people came up and she had chats with them. I thought, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? There's some people out there who really want to serve the Lord. And of course, encouraged. It's always lovely, isn't it, as a believer in the Lord Jesus to see somebody out there telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we live in a culture that seeks to push us down, to hide us away, like you were, you know, to make us dumb. When actually, we have every right to tell people about the Lord and our faith and to share that, whether that's in the workplace, the school, or out in the public square. Anyway, that's my normal patch along the M5. There he is, the M5 messenger. If you want a newsletter, my prayer letter, there's a sheet over there. You can sign up for it. Please make sure your writing is legible. And I go off on a dog leg to Barnstable once every 3 months because they have a special hold on me. I won't discuss that here. But here I am in Gloucester. So Gloucester, by the Eastgate Shopping Centre. At the moment, we're by the Body Shop. We're trying a different place because they closed B&M, I think it is, or whatever. So it's sort of, you know, our footfall sort of went down. But we're over in that place near Marks and Spencer's. 11:30 to 1 o'clock every other Thursday. Now, the next time we're there, I think it's on 17th of November. But other times, I'm in Cheltenham, and then I'm in Gloucester, and then I'm in Stroud. And then Gloucester again in, I think it's December. But anyway, that's who we are. There's some of the folks who join us. I didn't put, Tim comes out, has been out, and Ruth as well. They come out and visit us, used to, a lot. But then sort of, you know, COVID struck, and then, you know, it hit a lot of people, that. But our main challenge is Muslims are out there. They're good to chat to. Muslims always want to talk about their faith, and they want to talk about you, and they're good people to talk to as well. Ignorance, a lot of ignorance out there, but people do stop and talk, and I took these. These are only for the past couple of months or so. These are all people in Gloucester that we've spoken to. So, I'm not going to use that thing. So that's Marion that comes out, speaking to these dear ladies. And these two were sat by the preaching. They were at the table there. They took some New Testaments. I think she's got a Bible there, and she's got a New Testament to read. So they listen. That's us at the cross. Who is that? That's Peter in his luminous jacket. With all these people that are sitting and watching and folks are having conversations. There's Peter talking to that guy there. There's lots of conversations going there. And there's Peter speaking to a little group of young people. And that's Vicky, I think that's Joe's wife, speaking to that young man there. Lots of conversations there, lots of opportunities. Seriously, I mean, seriously, lots and lots of opportunities to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. And they stop because they want to know. They're interested. Now, I just wanted to show you this. These are from various places. All these young folks. Young folks have stopped to talk, all in their students and in their 20s. They want to come and they want to ask questions. Now, so all those folks there. Now, I just want to talk briefly about this. This is Alison Royal. She goes to Buckingham Baptist Church. So this group of young ladies came up and they came to talk about, they wanted to know about the Bible, and she took them over to the board. And each of them received, some of them wanted a John's Gospel, somebody wanted the New Testament, she gave them to them, and they went away. But 2 weeks later, one of them, Georgina, she brought her friend back so she could have a New Testament as well. And I remember asking my daughter, she's 24, I said, why are they so interested to have the Bible, to have New Testaments? And she said, well, Dad, they've never seen it before. They don't have them in schools anymore. You know, they might have a page of it in a textbook or whatever, but they never actually have a Bible. So to them, it's a really exciting thing to possess one. It's amazing when they come and say, well, how much is this? It's free. And they go, really? And they really do go away and treasure it. Now, you know, we trust that they read it. We say, well, you know, please take it if you read it. But it's wonderful to think that all these dear people want to know something. Now, here is in Exeter, there's about a month or so ago, I think it is. That's Tom Cook, dear brother from Heavertree Evangelical Church. Independent Evangelical Church, got to get that right. Now, I was preaching the gospel, and there are these five or six lads over by Tesco's. There's normally loads of students there. And I said, listen, guys, I said, look, if you want to know any more, I said, we've got some John's Gospels or New Testaments or other books. Go and have a look. If you want to take any, very welcome. It's all free. So they went over there and had a conversation with Tom. Now, you know, a couple of them were taking the mick. I think it was that guy and another guy there was taking the mick a bit. And I think a couple of them took some a John's Gospel or whatever. And then they went away. And then 10 minutes later, the two that were taking the mick crept back. And they both took a New Testament with them. There we are. I caught them as he was going away. And I thought, well, there you go, you see. You see, often there's a lot of bravado. But young folks are very... We live in a bankrupt world that is offering a worldview that offers no hope and no life and nothing. And we are saying, look, there is an alternative way to view this life. Let's look at it through the lens of the Bible. Let's look at it through the lens of a God who loved us and gave his son to die for us upon a cross. Let's look at it as though you are a special creation of God, that God knows numbers every hair on your head, and that he sent his son to die on a cross so that you might have your sins dealt with, that you might be saved, you might have be born again and have a true meaning and purpose to your life, to serve God each and every day, to know why you're here. And that is a wonderful thing. And their little eyes, you know, brighten up when you tell them that. It's a wonderful thing, apart from a world that tells them, you're just gloop. Oh yeah, you're special, but you're not special. You know, you're special, but you're just one of a big group and you know, it's awful what we're doing. Now, we also have team events. These are the team events for this year. As you can see, we've done most of them now. We're on the last couple there. But we have every year various events around. Some of them are open to people who like to come along and help. All the ones in the red dot are ones open for men and women and young people to come along and help if they would like. So take a note of that. I don't know if you get our open air mission magazine here, but... They're also listed. They're listed on the website. So if you want to serve the Lord in some way, you're very welcome to come along there. We do beach missions at Tenby and at Weymouth. They're always good fun. Also, we have Bible exhibitions that go around the country. They're not exhibiting Bibles, but what they are is this. We target it at primary schools mainly. So they're either, we have boards that go round in like a big semicircle, and interspersed with the boards are people who are dressed up as various characters from the Bible. So this is the life of Christ. So what happens is as the narrator goes round and explains the life of Christ, then he introduces a character like the centurion or Nicodemus or Caiaphas. And then, of course, they tell him their life experience. So if you're Nicodemus, you can tell, well, he said, I have to be born again. He said, I was, you know, a sinner. I need to be saved, born again. I put my faith and trust in Jesus and my life changed. And I was, so you can preach the gospel because obviously when you go to schools normally, you can't proselytize or anything like that. But these are in character, so they can say what they like about the Lord Jesus Christ or their situation. But schools love it. I mean, I think last year, normally we have about 20,000 kids that we show this to. I think last year was 11,000 because we're still knocking on from the COVID. But they're a wonderful opportunity. So they're either set up in a church hall or in a school. Schools are really keen about it because it ticks a lot of curriculum boxes, I can tell you. But it's a great opportunity. And then afterwards, they do a little sheet as they go around answering some questions, which are collected. Then the church then can mark it and then go in at a later date and give them a prize for the best ones and maintain that connection with the local school. It's quite a wonderful opportunity. Now, that's all I wanted to say because I just wanted to give that just brief overview of what I do. Obviously, there's tons more. But I just pray it might give you just a little flavour and also encourage you to find out a little bit more about the Open Air Mission. Thank you.
Thanks ever so much, Tim. And now, just to give you a background, we're just going to sing our final hymn. And after this, we're going to have a question-like person. Try and serve.